Let's turn again in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 6 through 15, but the text is going to be verses 6 and 7. And the reason I selected these verses is that this particular section is going to be the focus of our family visitation over the next few weeks. Where our elders will be meeting with the members of our congregation. We're going to be focusing on these words. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. If you're using our Black Pew Bible, that's page 1143. Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse 6 and reading to verse 15. Colossians 2, verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God, who raised Him from the dead. When you are dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. That's as far as we're reading together in God's word. May He add His blessing to it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we just heard, these words that we just read are going to be the focus of our family visitation this year. And if you remember, one of the reasons why we as a church practice the family visitation as we do is because it gives the elders an opportunity to meet with the individual families and individuals of our congregation to take their spiritual temperature, to ask them very important questions like, how is your faith? How are things going? Have you grown in the faith? Have you grown in your obedience? It gives us as elders the opportunity to hear how God has been working in your heart and your life. Because the fact is, there is no such thing as a stagnant Christian. Either you are growing in grace and knowledge of the truth, or you are sliding away, backsliding, growing apart from Him. Well, throughout our text this morning, we are going to be seeing at the various points this image that Paul brings in the writer of Psalm 1, David, also talks about this concept of a tree, that the Christian is similar to a tree. And the tree has three main parts. The tree has the root system, it has the trunk, and then it has the branches with its fruit. And these three parts of the tree will correspond to the three points of our sermon this morning. Each point referring to a different aspect of the tree, a different aspect of the Christian's life, but you cannot separate one from the other. What would the branches be? What would the fruit be without the root? The connection that there is between all three parts is necessary for the tree and for the Christian to be mature, to be established, and to be overflowing with thanksgiving. So today we are going to see this theme that Jesus Christ enables us to grow in Him towards a mature faith. I'll say that one more time. Jesus Christ enables us to grow up in Him towards a mature faith. And our text starts then in verse 6 where we read, just as you have received Christ Jesus, continue to live in Him. So the focus starts in what you have received, just as you have received. This is a truth, an established fact. You have received something. Now, how have you received it? Well, Paul has up to this point in the letter been focusing on his work and Epaphras, these beloved men who have brought the gospel. They have brought the truth. They have proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. They have brought Christ himself to the church. And Paul says, just as you have received Christ. When the congregation of Christ gathers together week after week, sitting under the preaching of the word, you are not receiving some philosophical treaty on what Pastor Alonz thinks you need to do. This is not just some good ideas, the 5 points to a healthy marriage, do this and everything will go well with your life. You have received Jesus Christ. Romans 10 echoes this. In hearing the preaching, you are hearing not words about Jesus Christ, you are hearing the words of Christ himself. John 10 says the same thing. My sheep hear not about me, they hear me, they hear my voice. So the first point in establishing a church, in the establishment of a Christian, is hearing, receiving, being planted in Jesus Christ. You have received him. You have been placed in him. As verse 7 continues, you are rooted in Christ. That's the beginning of the Christian life, to be rooted in Christ. The church at Colossae had received Christ by way of the preaching of Paul and Epaphras. And the interesting dynamic here is in receiving Christ, you are received by Christ. In getting Christ, you are gotten by Christ. In getting Christ, you are rooted into him, placed into him. That foundation has been established. His voice is known and his work applied to us. There is a truth, a doctrine, a person, a tradition, a reality that is impressed upon you, and then that truth permeates your being. Rooted in him. Now, this word, a rooted, found in verse 7, is a past event, a perfect reality that has a continued effect. You have been rooted in him, you are now currently rooted in him, and you remain to be continually rooted in him. Paul is not telling the church at Colossae, he's not telling us what we need to do. He's not saying, as a church, you need to go out and be rooted in Christ. He's saying, if you are in the church, if you are a Christian, you already have been rooted in Christ. You cannot be a Christian unless you have already been rooted in him. Planted once for all. We could say Paul is referencing this new birth, the need for every believer to be born again, born of the Spirit and the Word. In Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. You are rooted firmly. Your foundation stands. Just as a tree needs a solid foundation, so a Christian's solid foundation is found in the fact that they are rooted in Christ, having received him. This foundation is deep, it is established, it is enduring, and it cannot and will not be broken. You might know this if you've ever tried to plant a tree. I remember doing this once up in PEI. I received a sapling as a gift from a friend, and I went out and I dug a hole to stick this tree in. And I went down about a foot and I hit some hard rock. I couldn't get rid of these rocks. So I said, well, it looks deep enough. And I just stuck it there and I piled some extra dirt around it. I thought that was good enough. And 2 days later, the wind picked up and blew the tree right over. Why did that happen? Because its roots were not established. It wasn't deep enough. Its foundation did not hold because it was shallow. But here Paul is saying a Christian has a root system that runs deep into the soil of Jesus Christ. And once this root system is established, it has everything it needs for a life of maturity and growth. Because a tree cannot plant itself. A tree needs to be planted, just as the Father has now planted us in Jesus Christ, grafted us, if you will, into this living vine. Like the tree of Psalm 1, planted by streams of water, so a Christian is planted and rooted in Jesus Christ. Since this is true, to marry this, verse 6 and verse 7, since you have received Christ, since you are rooted, planted, your foundation is in Him, therefore walk in Him. Therefore, we can continue this sermon because this is an established fact. You will not have Christian maturity. You will not have an abundance of fruit and thanksgiving unless you are first rooted solidly in Jesus Christ. Jesus said this to Nicodemus, unless you are born again. So a Christian needs to be united to Christ in faith. And when you are rooted and established in Him, you will grow. You must grow. Peter says, crave that pure spiritual milk. But not just crave the milk. Desire the mature things, the solid food. When we become Christians, we are like spiritual babes that are fed with the milk of God's word. But that maturity must be evident in our desire to grow up into deeper truths. So we have, as Christians, been planted into Jesus Christ. We are dug down deep, fully grounded into Him. But Paul says, don't stop there. We need to go on from there. Since you have, since this is true, now walk in Him. Seek maturity. The foundation is laid, but the building has to be built. Just as every tree being rooted is not the end of the story. When you plant a sapling, your desire is not that the tree remain this tall. Right? You want that tree that has now been firmly rooted to be established. And that's what we find in verse 7. Now that you have been rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. Every building starts with a foundation, but the building is only complete when the last capstone is set in its place. The tree that has been dug down deep, firmly rooted, is to be established. This also is the work of God within you. Building up in the faith, here's in verse 7, it says, strengthened in the faith. This being strengthened in the faith is not something which we are called to do, but it is something that God has done and is doing within us. Just as being rooted is the work of God, being established and matured is also the work of God within us. But God has chosen to use means in order to mature His people. Listen to Acts chapter 20. The word of God is able to build you up. We often speak of established trees, right? No longer that sapling, but a tree that has been in a good, solid foundation in fertile soil, continues to grow, putting its roots down deeper, and it gets a solid core, the trunk, as year upon year there adds the ring, and it becomes immovable. God causes those that are planted, rooted in Christ, he causes them to be established in the faith, that they grow and mature. We could call that this is the process of sanctification, the growing in holiness, growing in grace and knowledge of the truth. This is God's work that he performs within us so that we might be mature. This is what chapter 1, verse 28 says, if you want to look there. It says, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect or mature in Christ. You have received him. First point. Second point. God is now maturing those who have received in Christ. Who have received Christ. And as I said before, God uses means. How does God bring the little sapling into a mighty oak? God uses means, and the means are these: the preaching of the word and the sacraments, the means of grace. God uses the means of grace to establish, to cause this little tree to become a mighty, solid oak. If you want to see growth, if you want to be a solid and mature Christian, then you will put yourself in the place where God has said, this is where I cause my trees to grow. This is where I cause you to be established. This is where I want you to be. We could say that the word and the sacraments would be the rain and the sunshine upon our spiritual growth. And this cause, this need for maturity is very pressing when you look at the context here. If you read in verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. The fact is, there is deceit, there is hostile teaching, there is vain philosophy and human traditions in this world. And what these human traditions and vain philosophies want to do is they want to keep you immature. They want to unsettle you. They want to topple you. Earlier this past year in November, my wife and I traveled down to Florida. And when you travel down in southern Florida, you see these palm trees that look healthy and strong. But after the hurricane, what happened to them? They were all toppled over because they weren't firmly established. Because their roots were not firmly planted in the soil. And they were tipped. That's a good picture of an immature Christian. An immature Christian is one who refuses to drink deeply at the stream of God's word. And when trials and tribulations and false teachings arise in this world, the various winds of doctrine, because they have not been firmly established, they're tossed to and fro. Just this past month, we read that the end of the world is happening in April 23. End of the world, April 23. Or, teaching during this time, you've missed out on the resurrection. It's already happened. Or some trials that we can experience. Why is life so hard? Why is the struggle against sin so hard? What does the Bible have to say about this? What does God really want for me and my family and with my children and with my relationship with my spouse? What has God given to me? How has he equipped me to serve within the church? Well, these questions have answers that require maturity, and that maturity is necessary in order to deflect and defend ourselves from the false teachings which are so prevalent in our world today. Those who refuse the means that God has given remain easily unsettled. Because God uses the means of grace to prepare you, to prepare us, to establish us as trees, so that the trunk would be solid, being built up and established in the faith. Once again, we learn good theology from the children's song. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. That's what God wants for us. And that's the means that God has given to us. If you want to be a solid, mature tree that has roots deep and a trunk that is solid, able to stand whatever the waves and winds of this world may throw against us, we commit ourselves to using the means that God has given to us. But there's one more part of the tree left. Children, remember what part of the tree do we have yet? We've had the roots. We're dug down deep. Foundation in Christ. We've had the trunk firmly established. Verse 7 says, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Finally, we have the branches with their leaves and their fruit. As verse 7 concludes, abounding in thanksgiving. Up to this point in verse 7, the verbiage in the Greek has all been on what God is doing and has done. God has rooted you. God is establishing you. But now we come to the call of what we must do. We are called. It's an active verb to be overflowing, abundant, heavy laden with the fruit of thanksgiving. Listen to Philippians 1 verse 26. So that your rejoicing may be ever more abundant in Christ. Now the reason for rejoicing, the reason for thanksgiving comes from where we are in this book. The letter to the Colossians is really, if you were to summarize it in one phrase, it's the preeminence, the greatness of Christ compared to everything else. That's what the book of Colossians is all about. How great Christ is. I'm just going to give you a little sample of how great Christ is in this book. Christ is the image of the Father, the firstborn of all creation. He is the head of all things, before all things, who holds all things. He is the reason for all things and the end of all things. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 17. In Christ we find the fullness of deity dwelling bodily. Chapter 2, verse 9. He is the head and ruler over all. In him we are made alive, 2 verse 13, having our sins forgiven and the legal demands of the law being nailed to the cross, Christ having triumphed over them all. The written code, this is verses 13 and 14. God made us alive with Christ. He forgave us our sins, canceled the written code and the regulations that was against us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, disarmed the powers and authorities, made a public spectacle of them by triumphing over them on the cross. So in Christ we have justification and sanctification and the promise of glorification. In him our old man is dead, put in the grave. We are resurrected to new life, now called to live a new life. The greatness of Christ and the glory of the cross and the good news of the gospel is so clear. And that's why we can overflow with thanksgiving. The fact is, the better you know Christ, the more richly you understand the pearl of great price, that treasure beyond measure. There's a direct relation for how great Christ is in your eyes, in your understanding, and how thankful you are. The more you come to understand about who Christ is, what he has done, this great gift that is ours, the more overflowing and abundant our thanksgiving will become. So Paul here says, since you are rooted in Christ, since you are established in him, be overflowing, abundant, like a stream that is so full it's running over its banks. There is no one and there is nothing like our Jesus Christ. Since we have received the greatest gift, since his blood is worth more than all the gold or all the silver, his precious blood has been spilled, has been shed. The good news of salvation secured for us in Jesus Christ. Since such things as this are ours, how can we but overflow with thanksgiving? 1 verse 6 says this, "The gospel which has come to you is now bearing fruit and growing." Children, if I were to ask you to prove to me that this tree is alive and healthy, what things would you point to? If you were to go home, now is not the best time, but let's say in a month from now, and you're looking at a forest filled with trees, and I say, pick out the ones that are healthy. How would you do that? Would you look at the roots? Would you dig down and try to find the roots to see if this tree is healthy? No. Would you look at the trunk? Well, this is a big trunk. Must be a healthy tree. No. How do you look? How do you discern the health of the tree? You look for leaves and you look for fruit. So it is for us as Christians, the way that we show our vitality, the way that we show that we are in fact living, is by our leaves, by our fruit, by overflowing with thanksgiving. A Christian will be heavy laden with the fruit of thanksgiving, overflowing with the wine of gladness. It's in this way that we prove the life of Jesus Christ, which flows through our veins. This life of thanksgiving is evident in what we do throughout the week, and it's evident when we come together as a church. A church that is filled with thankful people is a church filled with life. A church where there is joy and thanksgiving in our prayers, in our service of one another, and throughout our lives, looking for opportunities to show, to display the fruit that we have been given. We are knit together in love. Chapter 2, verse 19 says, being knit together and growing with the growth that comes from God. Gratitude is one of the main signs that we can show, that we can display to this world that we are living in Christ. So let us all be overflowing, abundant with the fruit of thanksgiving. That this church, that our lives would be known as places of gratitude and thanksgiving. That whatever fruit God has given us, whatever talents and abilities, we gratefully and joyfully and cheerfully use them for the good of others. To conclude, as we read a few minutes ago from Psalm 1, the blessed man is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in due season and whose leaf does not wither. That blessed man is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the blessed man, and for all those who are in Christ, they also will be abundant in fruit. Having been rooted and established in Him, having received Christ, we now walk in Him, being equipped to be defended from the false teachings of this world and being filled with thanksgiving, overflowing with our gratitude. You have received Christ. Now walk in Him. Jesus Christ enables us to grow up towards a mature faith. So let us all use the means that God gives us so that we might be mature, fully built up, and overflowing with thanksgiving. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings that are ours in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the life that is ours in Christ. That new life has been planted in our hearts. And that we can, like that good soil, produce a harvest 100-fold. Oh Lord, we confess that the cares and worries of this world would seek to choke, to strangle our faith. We know that the rocky soil of false doctrine would seek to keep us shallow and immature. But, O Lord, we know that it is your will and your work within us to make us mature Christians. May our lives be overflowing with thanksgiving as we commit ourselves to using the means that you have given. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.